الله وبركاته. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. We continue inshallah on our study of the stars, the guiding stars in the sky of Islam, the beacons of this religion, the ones that put the role models for this ummah to follow after they followed the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they worked according to the principles and the methods of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they became a qudwa, they became our example to follow in their daily living. And these are the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that word encompasses many people. There are really hundreds of Sahaba that history books recorded, they recorded their biography, and recorded events and stories that they had to face and to follow. And many Sahaba lived after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for many years, and even till the 50th, and some of them till the 70th year after Hijrah. So way into the Umayyad dynasty Khilafah, and they also continued to be a role model and example for this ummah. We started initially with the 10 that are given the glad tiding of paradise. We spent a long time, alhamdulillah, studying the biography of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan, Ali ibn Abi Talib. And then we studied the life of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, and we studied the life of Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah, and we studied the life of Sa'id ibn Zayd. And we also studied the life of Abdurrahman ibn Awf, jazakallah khair. And we are left with two of the 10 that are giving the glad tiding of paradise, jazakallah khair. And inshallah we'll try tonight to cover the life of these two sahaba, jazakallah khair. And these two sahaba were really close together, these two, the last two of the 10, last but definitely not the least of these 10 that are given the glad tiding of paradise. And these two sahaba had a really deep friendship and a good relation that tied them together, real brotherhood in Islam that tied them throughout their life and their companionship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these two sahaba are Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Al-Zubayr ibn Al-Awwam radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. We start with Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Talha ibn Ubaidillah, one of the 10 that are given the glad tiding of paradise. He is one of the 6 that Umar ibn al-Khattab chose after he was stabbed, after he was murdered, to handle the affairs of Muslim. And among these 6 that he trusted all equally, that one of them should be a Khalifa to run the affairs of Muslims. And one of these people was Talha ibn Ubaidillah. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on his final illness, on his final disease, final days of his life, he went out to the masjid and he got on the minbar to give the final address to this ummah, what is known as either khutbatul wada', which is different from hujjat al-wada', the khutbah of hujjat al-wada'. It's called the farewell speech, and some call it khutbat al-maut, the speech of death, which is the last speech that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to this ummah. And in that speech, he addressed the sahaba, and he gave the order of the sahaba who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with and the Prophet is pleased with. And he said, close all the gates of the masjid that are on that lead to the houses, because the masjid has so many gates, and each sahabi would have a house next to the masjid, will have an opening, so they would come to the masjid. And the Prophet ordered that all these gates to be closed except one gate, that is the gate of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he that is a sign of his stature among the sahaba, of his station. And then he said that I am pleased with Umar I am pleased with Uthman. I am pleased with Ali. I am pleased with Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. I am pleased with Talha ibn Ubaidillah. I am pleased with Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. And I am pleased with Abdul Rahman ibn Awf. So he mentioned those Sahaba that are known as Al-Mardiyin. Those are Allah, that are given the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet. And every time that they are addressed, they are all reminded that تُوفِّيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَهُوَ عَنْكَ رَاضٍ, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was pleased with you when he faced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he died. And of them is our hero today, is Talha ibn Ubaidillah. His name, his full name is Talha ibn Ubaidillah ibn Uthman al-Qurashi Taymi al-Makki al-Madani. And he's given these titles as Talha ibn Ubaidillah, son of Uthman al-Qurashi, from Quraysh, from the tribe of Tame, and that is the same tribe of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So he is from the same clan like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And his mother was also a Muslim. He's one of the Sahaba that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him, that his mother became a Muslim, and she is a Sahabiyya. Her name is As-Sa'bah ibn al-Hadrami. And his uncle, the brother of his mother, is Al-Ala ibn al-Hadrami, and he is also one of the biggest Sahaba, one of the great Sahaba. And she became a Muslim, and she made the Hijrah, and she was recorded in history as we said, one of the Sahaba al-Mardiyin, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Talha ibn Ubaidillah is one of the people that went into Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu. You know, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq invited many of the early Sahaba, the very first people to enter into Islam. Many of them were called by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu, to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of them was Talha ibn Ubaidillah, who was from the clan of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu. And for the Islam of Talha ibn Ubaidillah, there is a short story that is narrated in some of the history books. And Talha is recorded as one of the first eight people, period, to come into this religion. Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiyallahu anhu. And Talha narrated the story of his Islam, and it is narrated actually in more than one book, that he was in Asham. He was in Asham, and it says he was in a place called Busra, which is still a small village in Asham in Syria. And he met a monk worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a small place. And then he asked the caravan, the Talha ibn Ubaidillah, he said, any of you are of the people of the sanctuary, of Ahl al-Haram, of the Mecca? And Talha ibn Ubaidillah said, I am one of the people of the sanctuary of Mecca. And then he asked him, is Ahmed there yet? Did Ahmed appear? And Talha said, who is Ahmed? Who is Ahmed? We don't know who is Ahmed. And that is the name that is mentioned in the Bible, in the original Bible, about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is recorded in the Quran about Isa ibn Maryam. قال عيسى ابن مريم يا بني إسرائيل إني رسول الله إليكم مصدقا لما بين يدي من التوراة ومبشرا برسول يأتي من بعد اسمه أحمد. So the name Ahmed, narrated in the Bible, in the Gospel, as the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, who is Ahmed? And they said, he is the man, he is the prophet, and this is the month that he will come out with. And he is the seal of the prophets, and he comes out of the sanctuary. And then he migrates to a place of palm, and among hills, and that is a description of Al-Madinah. And then the monk told Talha, فَإِيَّاكَ أَن تُسْبَقَ إِلَيْهِ, don't let anybody get to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, get to Ahmed, before you do, means just run to him and be with him. Talha said, I went after my trade, I came back to Mecca, and I asked the people of Mecca, هَلْ وَقَعَ مِنْ حَدَثٍ, did anything happen? And they said, yes, Muhammad ibn Abdullah تَنَبَّأ. They said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, son of Abdullah, claiming prophethood, he's prophesizing. And تَبِعَهُ أَبُو قُحَافَ ibn Abi Quhafa, and followed him the son of Abu Quhafa. Now the son of Abu Quhafa is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. So Talha said, I went and I entered the house of Abu Bakr and I said, أَتَبِعْتَ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ, are you following that man, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then Abu Bakr started telling Talha about the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, نعم فَاتْبَعْهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَدْعُ إِلَى الْحَقِّ وَإِلَى الْخَيْرِ, and follow him because he is calling for the truth and he is calling for the good. And Talha told Abu Bakr what happened with him in Ash-Sham, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picked these people early to come with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sent them signs. And this is one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to Talha ibn Ubaidillah. So Talha went with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and he became a Muslim. So both of these people, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Talha ibn Ubaidillah, were from Taym, from the clan of Taym in Quraysh. And they were the first two Muslims from the clan of Taym. And the persecution started immediately. And what happened is Nawfal ibn Khuwaylid is a man from Taym. He was given the mission to straighten these two out. So he took Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and he tied them up in one rope. And he started torturing both of them. And he started abusing both of them. And they were tied in one rope. And that's why they are called, Talha and Abu Bakr, they are called in the clan of Taym al-Qarinayn, the equals or the people that are together. And that's because they were tortured together in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talha went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he became the Sahabi in the house of Bani al-Arqam, where the earliest teaching place of Islam, where the Sahaba took the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those early Sahaba, and later joined in by Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, and later were joined in by Umar ibn al-Khattab 3 years after the da'wah. But Talha ibn Ubaidillah was way early in, that one of the people that became a Muslim before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into the house of Bani al-Arqam. And he suffered the persecution and the torment like the rest of the Muslims in Quraysh. And then it came time to the Hijrah, and during the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Talha was a merchant. Talha was a man that takes caravans to Ash-Sham, to Syria, and brings the goods back to Mecca. And when he was coming back for one of his journeys, he saw the three immigrants, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and their guide, walk into Al-Medina, and he had garments, white garments with him that he was bringing from Ash-Sham. And he gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq the white garments that they entered to Medina wearing those garments. And that's how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked into Medina wearing the dress, the garments that were given to him by Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Then after he gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his garments, he continued on taking the caravan to Mecca. And he gave the caravan to the merchants. The custom at that time is the leader of the caravan will take investments, will take money from people and buy goods for them, take a share of that and bring the goods to them and deliver the goods to the people that they trusted them with the money. So after he gave the money to the people and the goods to the people of the caravan, he took the family of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and he migrated with them to Al-Medina, and he was one of the early people that migrated to Al-Medina. When Talha ibn Ubaidillah entered Medina, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose Ka'b ibn Malik al-Ansari to become his brother. We know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take an immigrant from Mecca and an Ansari from Medina and will make them brother, and the brother of Talha ibn Ubaidillah was Ka'b ibn Malik al-Ansari. And Ka'b ibn Malik is the man that was one of the three that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran with when they lagged behind the Muslims during the Ghazwa of Tabuk, during the expedition of Tabuk. And in that there is actually a long story that inshallah we will cover when we speak about Ka'b ibn Malik al-Ansari. But Ka'b ibn Malik was a poet and he was one of the great Sahaba, the great people around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was the brother of Talha. Talha ibn Ubaidillah was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, and the time of Badr came. And Talha ibn Ubaidillah was given along with al-Sahabi a mission of scouting the caravan of Quraysh. We studied the life of that Sahabi. If somebody remembers that him and Talha were scouting when the Prophet ﷺ decided to move with the army to Badr. And they both missed the actual battle of Badr because they were given the mission of scouting the caravan. And they missed fighting during Badr. And the other Sahabi was Sa'id ibn Zayd, one of the 10 that are given the glad tidings of paradise, along with Talha ibn Ubaidillah. They missed the actual fighting of Badr. And Badr was the day of Furqan, the day of differentiation between good and evil. And Talha and Sa'id, they both were very distressed about missing that honor. And then he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teary. I mean, how did he miss that? How did he lose this ajr? Did we lose this? And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he told him how, you know, I missed it, ya Rasulullah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, laka sahmuk, you have your share of the booties, you have your share of the spoils, of the battle. But Talha said, wa ajri, do I get my reward of fighting in Badr? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa ajruk, you get the reward like you were in Badr. So the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ya Talha, laka sahmuk wa ajruk, you have your share and you have your reward. Because he was with Sa'id ibn Zayd. And the same thing about within a mission from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is considered of the Badriyin. He's considered of the Badri. So three people recorded in history that are of Badr that were never in the fighting in a battlefield. They are Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Sa'id ibn Zayd, wa Uthman ibn Affan. Uthman ibn Affan was nursing his wife Ruqayya, daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, based on orders of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Talha was yearning. Talha was, the blood in Talha was boiling. He wants to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his sincerity and against those enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that opportunity came to Talha when the army invading from Mecca came to Al-Medina to fight the Muslims in Al-Medina. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out to them in Uhud, under the mountain of Uhud. And that is a day recorded in history for Talha ibn Ubaidillah. We know what happened in Badr and how the early stages of the battle were for the Muslims. And the Muslims were victorious and they were able to defeat the Mushrik army. And as the Muslim Mushrik army was withdrawing from the battlefield and the Muslims started gathering the spoils, the archers on the mountain that is today called Jabal al-Rumah, the Mount of Archers, started leaving their post, trying to go and get those spoils. And Khalid ibn al-Walid, radiallahu anhu, who was with the mushrikeen at that day, he made a turnabout and turned around the Muslim army and he started attacking the Muslims from the back, and the Muslim army was in chaos. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was behind the army and behind Khalid. And he started trying to reorganize the troops. They organized the Muslim army. And he would say, halummu ilayya ibad Allah, come to me, servants of Allah. And he exposed his character. He exposed who he was. And then that was a great danger on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he had no protection around him. The army was far from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he, as he is calling the first man that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after a few Ansar, there were a few people from Medina that were all slaughtered around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first man of Mecca, the first Sahabi of the Muhajirin that came to the Prophet's side was Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And Talha was a great fighter. And he was known for his skills in fighting around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he went to protect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he started fighting. And then the next Sahabi that comes was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would turn to one side and he will see Talha, and turn to the other side and he will see Sa'd. And Sa'd was throwing archers and Talha was fighting and shielding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his body. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say things to Talha and say things to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas and encourage them to continue in the fighting until more Sahaba come to fight with them and to the army to reorganize together. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, every time the day of Uhud is mentioned, he would cry. He said, ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ طَلْحَ. That day is the day of Talha. The Talha ibn Ubaidillah. He said the entire day of Uhud is the day of Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And Talha ibn Ubaidillah was around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was fighting and his fingers were cut. His right hand fingers were cut and he would continue to hold the sword and fighting around the Prophet. And then his body was filled with arrows and stabs from every place. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Man lil qawm, who's gonna defend, who's gonna fight against these people? And every time he will call that, Talha would say, Ana ya Rasulullah, me ya Rasulullah. I mean, the man is filled with stabs, filled with blood, and he is fighting around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like the lion fighting for his own den. And then a man came to Talha and he hit him and he cut fingers again from his hand, and Talha felt the pain and he said a word. He said has, and this is a word that they would say when they feeling a lot of pain. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that and he said, Talha, لو قلت بسم الله لرفعتك الملائكة والناس ينظرون. He said the malaika, if you just said Bismillah instead of that cry for pain, the malaika, the angels would elevate you right now and the people are watching. And in that, there is a hadith and mentioned in Tabaqat Bani Sa'd. And he continued to fight around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in Al-Bukhari, it is narrated in a very authentic hadith that the Talha continues to fight until his right hand was paralyzed. He finally was hit where he could not fight anymore with his right hand, and his right hand became paralyzed from fighting in that day of Uhud. He continues to be around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with his friend Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, and we will say also the life of the Zubayr later on in the second half of this session, inshallah. And then he said after that he went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the mountain. We know the Prophet drew the army into the mountain for protection, and he went into the shurb, into that fork in the mountain. And he tried the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get up on the mountain. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also injured. The Sahaba around him were all injured. It was a really devastating day for the Sahaba. And Talha bends down and he let the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climb over him on his back. And he elevated, I mean, this is a man who is filled with stabs, right hand paralyzed, and he is helping the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his body to get up on the mountain. And then he continued to push the Prophet up until he secured the Prophet up above a rock, and he was protecting the Prophet. And then the Prophet looked at him and he said, "Awjab al-yawma Talha." Talha today has deserved it. He deserved paradise. And that means that was one of the glad tidings that were given to Talha ibn Ubaidillah with paradise. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Talha with him filled with stabs and blood, and he said, من أراد أن ينظر إلى شهيد يمشي على رجليه فلينظر إلى طلحة بن عبيد الله. He said, whoever wants to look at a martyr walking the face of the earth, a martyr but not dead. Martyrs are the people who are killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Talha. He said, anybody wants to look at a martyr that is not dead, walk in the face of the earth, let him look at Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أحب أن ينظر إلى رجل يمشي في الدنيا وهو من أهل الجنة فلينظر إلى طلحة ابن عبيدillah. If anybody wants to look at a man in dunya, but he is of the people of paradise, let him look at Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And in Surah Al-Ahzab, some of the scholars said that the verse, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا was revealed in Hamza and Talha. The ones of the believers are people who were truthful to what they contracted with Allah about, to what they promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of them, some of them were dead, they finished their life. And of that, the scholar said that is Hamza, who was killed in Uhud. And وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. And of them, the people are waiting. And that was Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Uthman ibn Affan in some Mufassirin. So that was the day of Uhud, and that was called, and the day, as Abu Bakr said, اليوم يوم طلحة أو أحد يوم طلحة. The day of Uhud was all for Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And that was the last day that is really recorded for Talha to have a great amount of fighting, because he lost his hand. He lost his right hand, the one that he fights with. But he continued to go out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he continued to go out with expeditions that the Prophet ﷺ sent to do whatever he can do, even though he has a paralyzed right hand, but he will do whatever he can with the one that is working, with the left hand, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was in Al-Khandaq, he was in Ghazwat Al-Ahzab, and he was in Bay'at Al-Ridwan. He was in Al-Hudaybiyah when the Prophet ﷺ went for Umrah, and when the Prophet ﷺ called for the Sahaba to give a pledge of death, when Uthman ibn Affan was late coming back, as we studied in the Seerah sessions, then Talha was one of the people that gave that pledge under the tree, and he was one of the people that were given again the glad tidings for paradise under the tree by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Tabuk, he came with his money. Tabuk is the expedition of hardship, Ghazwatul Usra, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Muslims to go in a year that was a year of famine and hardship, and many of the Sahaba came with their wealth, like Uthman ibn Affan, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and Talha was no less than the others, and he brought his fortune to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he went with the army to Tabuk with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi ghazwati Tabuk. And one of the things that are narrated about Talha, not only his bravery in the battlefield, but his generosity. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam witnessed that generosity of Talha ibn Ubaidillah, and he called them Talhatul Jud, wa Talhatul Khair, wa Talhatul Fayyad. He gave him three titles that all indicate generosity of a person. Al-Jud, the Jud is basically generosity. Al-Fayyad is the flooding, the person that would just give, like the flood with water. Wa Talhatul Khair, the Talha of the goodness, something that is khair. And that was one of the titles that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Last words to say about Talha ibn Ubaidillah, he was one of the six that are given the trust by Umar ibn al-Khattab to become a khalifa or to choose a khalifa. And they were Ali ibn Abi Talib, Uthman ibn Affan, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. And Talha was one of them, and we know that that ended with Uthman ibn Affan becoming the Khalifa. After the Khilafa of Uthman ibn Affan, at the end of the Khilafa, we know the fitna, the tribulation, the revolution against Uthman ibn Affan hits, and Talha and Az-Zubayr were in Al-Madinah when the Medina was besieged by the rebels that claimed they were going to Hajj, and they came to Medina and they stayed in Medina and they had their revolution against Uthman ibn Affan. Talha and Az-Zubayr were of the people that know the station of Uthman ibn Affan, and they tried to do anything they could to defend the Khalifa, Uthman ibn Affan. And Talha, with his paralyzed hand, sent his son, Muhammad. Muhammad was one also of the great Sahaba, Muhammad ibn Talha ibn Ubaidillah, to defend Uthman. And Muhammad was at the door of Uthman ibn Affan defending him when Uthman was killed. The murder of Uthman ibn Affan left a major impact in the heart of Talha ibn Ubaidillah. The events that followed, and we studied that, alhamdulillah, in detail, so I will not go into much details about what happened. But we know Talha and Az-Zubayr felt like they have to take the retaliation against the killers of Uthman before any other affairs of the Ummah. The Khalifa that was given the bay'ah at that time was Ali ibn Abi Talib. He saw otherwise. He saw that to reorganize the Muslim Ummah and to establish the authority of the Khilafah, which was extremely shaken to the extent that the Muslims killed their own Khalifa at the end of the Khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan. Ali felt that that has to be restored first, then retaliation against the killers of Uthman. Plus, the killers of Uthman were occupying Medina at that time, and Medina was besieged by those people. And then Talha and Zubayr took permission from Ali to go to Mecca, and in Mecca they organized an army called Jaishu Mecca, the army of Mecca, and they went with the army to Al-Basra to settle in Al-Basra and to make that a base to retaliate against the killers of Uthman ibn Affan. We know what happened, that Ali ibn Abi Talib went out to Al-Kufa to get an army because he had no support. And as we said, the Medina had no army because most of the Muslim army were out there in outposts defending the Muslim Ummah or expanding the Muslim Ummah. So he went to Al-Kufa and then he went with his army to Al-Basra to bring back Talha and Al-Zubayr and organized the Muslim Khilafah back together with these two important Sahaba, that he had great respect to them and he knew that they had great respect to him. And the negotiation among the Sahaba was conducted by Al-Qa'qa' ibn Amr, one of the great Sahaba, and Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, were in that negotiation. And they reached an agreement that these armies will not fight each other and they will dedicate their forces to retaliate against the killers of Uthman ibn Affan after Ali ibn Abi Talib restores the Khilafah and brings back Muawiyah and the renegade Hisham at that time back to the Khilafah. And in the night of the Battle of Al-Jamal, the conspirators against Uthman ibn Affan, the rebels, saw in that a major disaster to them, because once these two great groups of Sahaba meet and agree, that means their end. The end of the rebels, the end of the revolution, and the end of the chaos, and that means their necks are now in danger. And what they did the great trick, the evil trick on the night of Mawqi'at al-Jamal, when they went up the companions of Abdullah ibn Saba, and they started slaughtering their own army during the army of Ali, and they started shouting, غَدَرَ طَلْحَ وَغَدَرَ الزُّبَيْرِ. The Talha and al-Zubayr betrayed, and they are killing the army of Ali, and they sent people to kill in the army of Talha and al-Zubayr, and they were shouting, غَدَرَ Ali. Ali betrayed. So both armies at night got up and they started fighting each other. And that was the Battle of Al-Jamal. And in the Battle of Al-Jamal, Talha ibn Ubaidillah was behind the army watching what's going on, and he was hit with an arrow. And he was hit in his leg. And it hit obviously an artery because he was bleeding and bleeding profusely. And Talha would hold pressure against his artery, and once they relieved the pressure, he would bleed more. And then he said, "Da'uhu, innahu wa sahmun arsalahu Allah." It is an arrow that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, and he died on the battlefield of Mawqi'at al-Jamal. Ali ibn Abi Talib, after the battle, and that was on the 36th of Hijrah in the month of Jamad al-Akhirah, and Talha at that time was 62 years old. He held the face of Talha ibn Ubaidillah, and he was wiping the dust and he was weeping over the body of Talha ibn Ubaidillah, and he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you and me of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in them, 'وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا عَلَىٰ سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. We purified their hearts of any bitterness or hatreds, brothers on beds of paradise facing each other." He said, "This is what I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And he looked at the body of his son, Muhammad ibn Talha ibn Ubaidillah, who was also killed in that battle. And he said, يَقُولُونَ لَمْ يَخْرُجْ إِلَّا السُّفَهَاءُ. They say that only the ignorant people went out to this battle and look at these two. Look at Talha and look at Muhammad ibn Talha. They're most of the most honorable people of the Sahaba. And that's how Talha ibn Ubaidillah died. And then Ali ibn Abi Talib narrated, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ. Those who were receiving the goodness, the husna from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are far away from the hellfire وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And then he said this in this verse, أَنَا مِنْهُمْ, I am of them, of the people that meaning Ali, of this verse was revealed for, وَمِنْهُمْ أَبُو بَكْر, and of them there is Abu Bakr, وَعُمَر, وَعُثْمَان, وَطَلْحَ, وَالزُّبَيْر. Me, Abu Bakr, Uthman, Talha, and Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, meaning all of these people are given the glad tiding of paradise, and they're all brothers, inshallah, in al-Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us with them in al-Jannah. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The second hero of Islam, and the last but not the least of the ten that are given the glad tiding of paradise, is a man who's close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was a friend with Talha ibn Ubaidillah, and they actually shared their lifelong story together with Islam, and they died on the same day in the Battle of Al-Jamal. And that hero is Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, he also was recorded as one of the early Muslims. And he embraced Islam as the fourth or the fifth Muslim. So he was very early on to become a Muslim, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. And the historians differed about what was his age when he embraced Islam. Some said he was 8, some said he was 10, and some said he was 16. Wallahu a'lam. But in most of those history books, they said he was definitely a teenager. So he was between 14 and 16. Allah knows best. But he became a Muslim, wa alaykum salam, very early on. And he is close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had a blood relationship because the mother of Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam is Safiya bint Abd al-Muttalib. Mother of Az-Zubayr is Safiya, the aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first cousin on his mother, on Zubayr's mother's side. So his uncle, his khal, is Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib. So his first cousin is Ali ibn Abi Talib. This was the family of Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. He was first cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is from the clan of Asad. That means his father. His mother is from the clan of Bani Hashim, but his father is from Quraysh, and he is from the clan of Asad. And he was given the title by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by naming al-Hawari. Hawariyu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, some of the Sahaba had those titles like al-Faruq, wal-Siddiq, and when you speak of Hawariyu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are talking about Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, and that means the disciple of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like Isa alayhi salam, like Jesus, peace be upon him, had disciples. The Prophet said, my disciple is Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, his closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not prevent him from being tortured. And he was a young man. He was a teenager or younger by the time when he embraced the da'wah. So he was tortured by his uncle. His uncle took him and he would wrap him in a rug, and he would beat him, and he would light smoke to hurt his eyes and his breathing. So he would go back to worshipping idols. And as Zubair said, he would never do that. And then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was, I mean, you have to imagine, this is a very young person. And in very early days of Islam, and he is being tortured, and he would see the Sahaba being tortured, nobody was exempt from this torment. So he brought a sword, and came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what's with you? Malaka? What's wrong? And as Zubair said, أخبرتُ أنك أخذت. I heard that somebody's hurting you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet smiled at him. I mean, this is a boy, young boy. He said, فَمَا كُنْتَ صَانِعًا إِذَنْ. So what would you do if somebody hurt me? The Prophet is joking with him. He said, I would kill whoever would hurt you with this sword. كُنْتُ أَضْرِبُ بِهِ مَنْ أَخَذَكَ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for him and his sword. The sword was blessed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Zubair ibn al-Awwam was blessed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that, he was the first one to have a sword pulled out in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there was no permission to use that sword yet. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was in the early days of Mecca, when the Muslims were mustad'afin, they were the weak, and there were no permission to fight. No matter how the torment was bad, there were no permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fight. But he still was the first one to give the intention that he was ready to die if somebody heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Zubair radiallahu anhu was described as a tall man, was very, very well built physically. And he was one of two Sahaba that were known of their ability to fight with both hands equally. They can fight, they would have two swords, one with the right and one with the left, and their skills, their dexterity is equal with either one. And they, both of them were Khalid ibn al-Walid and Zubair ibn al-Awwam. And they are good horsemen, and they would control the horses with their legs, and they would fight with both arms. So both of them were untouchable in the battlefield. And they were both protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Neither one of them could be killed in a battlefield. And we will see how Az-Zubair ibn al-Awwam would die radiallahu anhu. The other thing known about Az-Zubair is his bravery. He was very daring. Nothing would scare Az-Zubair ibn al-Awwam. Now he was of the people that went to An-Najashi. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the Sahaba orders to make the emigration to Al-Habasha, Az-Zubair was one of them, and he was a young man. And what happened after An-Najashi showed signs that he would become a Muslim. Now An-Najashi had a fitna, had a tribulation inside Abyssinia. Because when Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, before he became a Muslim, came to take the Muslims back to Mecca to be tormented, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib spoke for the Muslims, and An-Najashi heard Ja'far. And then he went in front of all his bishops, all his priests, and he said, Isa did not say any word extra than what your prophet said about him. Meaning that Isa radiallahu anhu never claimed that he is God, never claimed that he is son of God. So the bishops gathered around the Najashi, and they said, are you still a Christian? Do you still believe? And they started a revolution against the Najashi. So what the Najashi did is he put the Mus'haf, papers that he took from Ja'far, because he became a Muslim. And we know that is true because it is narrated in the authentic hadith that the Prophet ﷺ made Salat al-Ghaib on An-Najashi when the Najashi died. So he put An-Najashi, this Quran, on his heart, and he put his garment above it. And he called his bishops. And the bishops came to An-Najashi, and they said, did you become a Muslim? And Najashi said, why do you think so? They said, well, we say Jesus is son of God. And what do you say? And he said, وَأَنَا عَلَى هَذَا. And I am on this. And he pointed to the Quran. He pointed to لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. So some of the bishops took his words for what it is, and they stayed with him, but some of them rebelled against the Najashi. And they prepared an army, and there was actually a battle between An-Najashi and the rebels against An-Najashi. And during this battle, Muslims went on the other bank of the river, and it may be the Nile, and Allah knows best. And they were watching the battle, but they couldn't tell who was victorious. Because if it was An-Najashi, then they're fine. They're protected. But if there were enemies of the Najashi that are victorious in that battle, then they will be slaughtered. then they have to really run away. They have to escape. They're not safe in Abyssinia anymore. So what would they do? How will they know who was victorious? So they said, somebody has to go and tell us what's going on. And they said, well, nobody can cross the river. Now, the one thing that the desert people can't do is swim. They're not swimmers. And they would fear water. I mean, they had natural fear of something that they don't do. They're unknown for them. So they said, what do we do? As Zubair said, I will cross the water. And he was an evidence of his bravery. And what he did is he took a qurba. I don't know how to translate that. But it's a sack made with leather, and they would put water in it. So he took this qurba and he blew it with air and he tied it. So it became a floating device. And he crossed the river to the other side all by himself. And he checked out who was victorious, and it was the Najashi who was victorious. And he got back and he gave the glad tidings to the Muslim. And that is one of the things that is narrated about as Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very happy to get Az-Zubayr back in Al-Madinah, and he also made the hijrah to Al-Madinah, and he became a brother of Salama ibn Salamata Al-Awsi from the Aws. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam married one of the most noble ladies of Quraysh, from the best families of Quraysh. Now this is a young Sahabi, was given in marriage in Islam to one of the young Sahabiyat. And her name was Asna, bint Abi Bakr. She is the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. See this blessed family. Here is Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the 10, is marrying Asna. And they both make this immigration to Al-Madinah. And they come a new family, husband and wife, to Al-Madinah. And in Al-Madinah, Muslims are new in Medina. And the Jews in Medina, they said, we put a spell on you. So there would be no newborns to Muslims in Al-Medina. And for more than 3 months, there are some people that are born to Muslims that they would die because of the hardship and the change of weather and all this new environment, the new germs that the Muslims were exposed to from Mecca to Al-Medina. And some Muslims really started believing that there is really some spell put on them, that they're cursed and they will have no newborns. But the very first newborn in Medina came to this family. And that name was Abdullah ibn Zubayr. The son of Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, was born to Asma and to Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Abdullah on his hands, and he walked the streets of Medina, and behind him was the Muslimun making takbir, Allahu Akbar, to let everybody hear that Muslims got a healthy newborn, and he's blessed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to put all those ridiculous rumors about spell, and that was one of the blessings for the family of Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took Abdullah ibn Zubair and he chewed a date and then he put it in his mouth, and that became a sunnah. It's called a tahniq, to put that sweet date in the mouth of the newborn. And he called him Abdullah. He gave him the name of Abdullah ibn Zubair, and he gave him a title, Abu Bakr. So he named him Abdullah, but he gave him the title of his grandfather, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and that was the very firstborn to the Muslims in Al-Madinah. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam went to Badr. Now in Badr, how many Muslim fighters they were? 314. How many horsemen? Two horses. And one of the horsemen was Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. So he was half the cavalry of the Muslims on the day of Badr, was Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. And the other one was Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, radiallahu anhuma. And in Badr, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam was wearing a yellow turban. And he was showing his fighting in front of everybody. And it's only two horsemen. And Quraysh had at least 300. So there was some inequality in the fighting there. And yet Az-Zubayr and Al-Muqdad, they both withstood that enormous pressure. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Az-Zubayr that the angels, the malaika that came to fight with the Muslims, they were all wearing yellow turbans for you, for Az-Zubayr, just to follow Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. And that's one of the narrations, although it is weak. And he was wounded twice by the mushrik during the battle of Badr. So he is one of the people that are given the glad tidings of paradise just because he is one of the fighters of Badr. That's one of the occasions that he was given the glad tidings of paradise. Then in Uhud, he was one of the people that starting the fighting early on. Now in the fighting, the duel that happens before fighting, the first mushrik that came out was Talha ibn Abi Talha al-Abdari. A man from Quraysh came out and he was calling for somebody to come and fight him. He was known for his strong fighting. And nobody would come out and find him. And he called again. And none of the Muslims would volunteer because it's a certain death if you fight this man. And then this comes this young guy, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, who was in his early 20s. And he said, I will fight him, Ya Rasulullah. And then he went to fight him. And Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam was walking and that man was on a camel. And Safiya looked at this, his mother is watching what's going on. And then she said, Ya Rasulullah, he will kill my son. He will kill Az-Zubayr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بَلِ الزُّبَيْرِ يَقْتُلْهُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ Az-Zubayr will kill him inshaAllah. And Az-Zubayr walked to the man on his camel, jumped on the camel with the man on his camel and fought him on his own camel and killed him. And he brought the camel back to the Muslims after he killed that horseman in Quraysh. And in one narration that he killed Talha with his own sword. Not only on his own camel, but he killed him with his own sword. And that is usually when you kill someone with his own sword, it's just dominance. It's just absolute dominance in that duel. If you can kill someone with his own sword. And then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna li kulli nabiyyin hawari," and every prophet has disciples. Wa hawari Az-Zubayr, and my disciple is Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. And that was the day of Uhud when he was given his title. And then he smiled at Az-Zubayr and he said, "Law lam tabruz ilay, labarastu ana ilay." He said, "If you don't go out, had you not went out to fight this man, I would have gone out and fought him myself." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To show people. And in that battle, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam was one of the few that were around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he witnessed the affliction that hit the Muslims during that battle, and he lost his uncle. He lost Hamza, his mother's brother, his uncle, and he lost his cousin, Abdullah ibn Jahsh. And Abdullah ibn Jahsh is the brother of Zainab bin Jahsh, the Prophet's wife, Umm al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anha, who was also, they're both his first cousin to Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. And then immediately after Uhud, the mushrik stopped in a place called Hamra al-Asad. And they were still posing a threat. They felt like even though they defeated the Muslims in Uhud, that they really didn't achieve anything. Because they didn't kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't finish the Muslims off, and they were debating whether to go back to Al-Madinah and just finish this defeated army off. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq in 70 people, and they went out to Hamra al-Asad to fight the army of Abu Sufyan. And then when the mushrik heard that they are coming, they left and they escaped to Mecca to preserve their small victory, their victory in Uhud. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِنَا مَسَّهُمُ الْقَرْحِ, those who replied and answered the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they are wounded, when they are hurt. And one of them was Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. And also he was in Ghazwat al-Ahzab and he was in Ghazwat Bani Qurayza. And he was also in Bay'at al-Ridwan, in the pledge of al-Ridwan, like Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And he was given the glad tidings of paradise again during that day. Then he went to Khaybar. And in Khaybar, we know there were some duels between the Jewish fighters and the Muslim fighters. And Ali ibn Abi Talib killed a man at the fortress that is called Hisn al-Sa'b, and his name was Murhab. Then the brother of Murhab went out to fight the Muslims, and his name was Yasir. And he was one of the great fighters, of Khaybar, of the Jewish fighters of Khaybar. And he had a spear, and he would kill Muslims right and left. And he went, Ali went to get him. And as Zubair said, leave him to me. أَقْسَمْتُ عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا خَلَّيْتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ. He said, don't kill them all, leave some for me. And he went and he fought with Yasir. And that was one of the heroic positions, because that particular man was killing so many Muslims, and going out to fight him was a sacrifice, because chances are higher in being killed or injured when you are fighting somebody like that man. And when Yasir was killed by Az-Zubayr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the glad tiding with the conquest of Khaybar. In Hunayn, also one of the things that were recorded in history, we know Malik ibn Awf was the leader of the mushrikeen in Hunayn. And he held, after the mushrikeen were kicked out of the valley in the second phase of the battle, Malik ibn Awf was regrouping. And he would scout who's coming from the Muslims to fight. And he will say, who's coming? And they will say, Banu Aslam. He said, stay here, let's fight them. And they will, another clan will come and they say, who is this? And they will say, Banu Tamim. And he said, stay here. And then he was scouting and he said, who is this? And they said, Az-Zubayr. He said, let's go. And he was scared of Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. So just the sight of Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam was a signal to Malik ibn Awf to withdraw his army from Hunayn. After the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam was very instrumental in Harub al-Ridda, in fighting those rebels against al-Islam and against Khalifa Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And then he went as a soldier to al-Sham, and he was one of the people that witnessed the battle of al-Yarmouk under the commandership of Khalid ibn al-Walid and later on Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. And in al-Yarmouk, as we studied, his heroism continued. I mean, in that battle, it was him and Khalid. And one of the things that he did is, while he was fighting the heart of the Byzantine army, he started in the beginning of the army, and then he found himself behind the Byzantine army. And he went back, fighting on the way out and on the way back, killing Byzantines. So he penetrated the heart of the Byzantine armies by himself, and was one of the heroism of Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. And Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam continued in the Khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan, and he also was one of the six that were given the mission to elect the Khalifa by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh. And as we said, when we were studying the life of Talha ibn Ubaidillah, he was with Talha in the Battle of Al-Jamal. During the Battle of Al-Jamal, Zubayr found himself in this chaotic battle that was initiated by the rebels. And he found Ali ibn Abi Talib trying to find him. So he went to talk to Ali ibn Abi Talib until their camels crossed necks, the way it's described in the history books. And Ali said, Ya Zubayr, do you remember that day when you passed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And I was standing there. And as Zubayr said, tell me more about it. And he said, when the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you, do you love Ali? أتحب عليا يا زبير? And you said, نعم والله أحبه. Yes, wallahi, I أحب علي. I love Ali. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told you, Zubayr, تقاتله وأنت له ظالم. You will fight him one day and you will be wrong. You will be the oppressor against Ali ibn Abi Talib. And as Zubayr was stunned, he remembered exactly the moment when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that. And he left the battlefield. He left the battle of Al-Jamal. And he gave his bay'ah, he gave his pledge to Ali ibn Abi Talib. His son Abdullah was following him, and he said, what's wrong with you, father? Are you afraid of the swords of Bani Abdul Muttalib? Are you afraid of the fighting? And Az-Zubayr left, and he said, Dani, leave me alone. And he left the battlefield. During that battle, a rebel saw Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam leaving the battlefield. And he followed him. And as Zubair looked at that rebel, and his name was Amr ibn Jurmuz, and he said, "What do you want?" And Amr ibn Jurmuz said, "I'm leaving the battlefield. Wa uridu suhba. I just read. I want to be with you. I want to your companionship." And as Zubair said, "Fine." And as Zubair had a young servant with him, and this man Amr ibn Jurmuz. And then when they far from the battlefield, the time for salah came. And the man Amr ibn Jurmuz said to Az-Zubair, "It is the salah time." And they made iqamah for salah. And of course the sahabi would be the imam, the one that is one of the glad, the then that are given the glad tiding of paradise. And as Az-Zubair started his salah, Amr ibn Jurmuz came from behind him and stabbed him. And he killed Az-Zubair ibn al-Awwam. And then he took the sword of the Zubair ibn al-Awwam, that sword that was blessed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first sword that he took to the Prophet on those early days of Islam. And he took it and he ran to the tent of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And they asked him, "What do you want?" He said, "I have a message for Ali." And then Amr ibn Jurmuz, they said, "Ali is not seeing anyone." Ali was trying to avoid the fighting during the battle of Jamal. And he said, "Just take that sword to him and tell him the holder of this sword is dead and I killed him." So he took the sword of Az-Zubair ibn Awam and he gave it to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Ali ibn Abi Talib looked at the sword and he recognized the sword of Az-Zubair ibn Awam and he started weeping. And his weeping got out and Amr ibn Jurmuz heard it. So instead of hearing the cheers of Ali as he expected, he was hearing weeping. And he heard Ali radiallahu anh saying, طَالَمَا جُلِّيَ بِهَذَا السَّيْفِ عَنْ وَجْهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. This is the sword that protected the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over and many times, Uhud and many other battles. And Amr ibn Jurmuz ran away and finally killed himself. And Ali ibn Abi Talib said, بَشِّرُ قَاتِلَ ابْنَ صَفِيَّةَ بِالنَّارِ. Give the glad tiding for the killer, for the murderer of the son of Safiyyah with the hellfire. That the killer of the Zubair ibn al-Awwam will go to the hellfire. And Zubair ibn al-Awwam was buried close to al-Basra in a place called Wadi Siba. One narration on An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, radiallahu anhuma, he said, "We were with Ali ibn Abi Talib in al-Kufa, in the final days of the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib was next to us and we thought he was asleep. And we were talking about Uthman, Talha, and Az-Zubayr. They were talking about what they considered, some people considered the enemies of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he said, we were talking about Uthman, wa Talha, wa Zubayr. And Ali opened his eyes, and he said, فَمِيمَ خُطُّمْ, what are you talking about? They said, we were talking about Uthman, wa Talha, wa Zubayr. And Ali said, أَنَا مِن شِيَعَةِ عُثْمَانَ وَطَلْحَ وَالزُّبَيْرِ. I am from the group of Uthman and Talha wa Zubair. I am with them. And then he recited, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. We purified, we took all the bitterness of their hearts, brothers on beds in the paradise. And then he said, ذَلِكَ عُثْمَانُ وَطَلْحَ وَالزُّبَيْرِ وَأَنَا مِنْ شِيَعَةِ عُثْمَانَ وَطَلْحَ وَالزُّبَيْرِ. There are Uthman wa Talha wa Zubair, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with Uthman and Talha and Az-Zubayr. And that was the end of the life of Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. And that also concludes our study of the 10 that are given the glad tiding of paradise. And also we also studied one sahabi, Zayd ibn Haritha, who was not of the 10. And by the way, all the 10 that are given the glad tiding of paradise have to survive the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They all were alive when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but there's so many others that are given the glad tiding of paradise, and there's so many people confirmed in paradise during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, Abdullah ibn Rawaha, Zayd ibn Haritha, and others. One correction that I would like to bring is during the fitna, I went and jazallah, brother Jamal Khairan, he put the entire series on the internet. And it is on pleasantviewschool.com, pleasantviewschool.com/media. And I listened to some of the sessions that we did before, and I picked a mistake. And one of the mistakes was about Umar ibn al-As. And we are all students of knowledge, inshallah. So forgive me if I make mistakes, but this is bound to happen. And if you hear that from me, please don't hesitate to correct me, because this is a study group, inshallah, and we all learn from the source of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the mistake was, as I said, that Amr ibn al-As was from the clan of Umayyah. And Amr ibn al-As is not from the clan of Umayyah. His allegiance was to the people of Umayyah, but he was from the clan of Sahm. And since that was a mistake, I want to make sure that that is being corrected. And if you spot any others, please don't hesitate to bring it to our attention, inshallah. وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فيا فوز المستغفرين وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.